Hi, friends. It's Miss Tasha here, and we just wanted to say that we still miss you and hope you all are well. But today we're going to talk about if you know how to swim. Well, swimming can be very scary. So sometimes people wear floats like the one I'm wearing. Sometimes people just stay in the shallow end, and sometimes they hang on to the side. But you can't really swim if you're standing on your feet or hanging on to the side. So I had a friend, and he really wanted to learn how to swim. So his mom put him in swimming lessons with a swimming instructor. And that swimming instructor knew how scared my friend was. So he put his hand under his belly and gently walked beside him. So my friend knew that no matter what happened, that the swimming instructor would save him from drowning. Now, life is a lot like learning how to swim. Sometimes it can be super scary. Sometimes we want to hang on to the side and not try new things. But Jesus promised us that no matter what, he would walk along beside us, just like that swimming instructor did with my friend that learned how to swim. And so we have to remember that when life gets scary, God is right there with us. Even if we can't feel him, we know he's right there and that he will always be there for us. So just keep that in mind when things get scary. So I'm going to pray first, and you can pray after me. So bow your heads. Dear Jesus, thank you so much. Thank you for all these awesome kids. Thank you for always being there when we are scared, even if we can't feel you. Thank you for loving us, and thank you that you are so awesome. And all God's children said, amen. Thanks, friends. See you soon.
Our scripture reading today is Isaiah 41, verses 1 through 10. Be silent before me, you islands. Let the nations renew their strength. Let them come forward and speak. Let us meet together at the place of judgment. Who has stirred up one from the east, calling him in righteousness to his service? He hands nations over to him and subdues kings before him. He turns them to dust with his sword, to windblown chaff with his bow. He pursues them and moves on unscathed, by a path his feet have not traveled before. Who has done this and carried it through, calling forth the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, with the first of them and with the last, I am he. The islands have seen it and fear. The ends of the earth tremble. They approach and come forward. They help each other and say to their companions, be strong. The metal worker encourages the goldsmith, and the one who smooths with a hammer spurs on the one who strikes the anvil. One says of the welding, it is good. The other nails down the idol so it will not topple. But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, you descendants of Abraham, my friend, I took you from the ends of the earth. From its farthest corners I called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, last week, as we looked at Psalm 27, we built a sandwich that can help us, remind us to have that confident trust in God, even in the midst of fear. And so I thought for this week, as we look at Isaiah 41, that we would build a burrito, a faith burrito. No, just kidding. We're not going to build a burrito this morning. In fact, this sermon is actually going to be a little bit shorter, and you can think of it more like a sermonette. But what I want to do is I want to, toward the end, I want to invite us into a time of just being still and just pondering and thinking, reflecting on these promises that we find in God's word, these promises that are reasons why we do not have to be afraid, we do not have to be anxious, we do not have to be dismayed. And so let's look at Isaiah 41 today. So something I like to do with our students from time to time is play a game called Would You Rather? And the way it works is a question is asked with a choice of two answers, and you have to decide what option you would rather do. For example, would you rather be forced to dance every time you heard music or be forced to sing along to any song you heard? Think about it. I mean, pretty difficult decision, I think. And either way, people are going to look at you funny. So I say just own it. Whatever you choose, just own it. Go with it. The thing about would you rather is it's not only a great way to stir up conversation, but it is also a great way in which we end up learning some things about each other and also ourselves. So let's do a few more. Would you rather live without hot water for showers or baths, or live without a washing machine? So hot water for showers or baths, or live without a washing machine? Again, another difficult decision. Or maybe it's not. Here's another one. Would you rather be so afraid of heights that you can't go to the second floor of a building, or be so afraid of the sun that you can only leave the house on rainy days? Now, obviously, here in Grand Junction, you might want to choose the fear of heights, as we have way too many sunny days here, which is a good thing, but you would probably never end up leaving the house. Maybe that's what you want. All right, so here's another one. Would you rather blink twice the normal rate or not be able to blink for 5 minutes, but then have to close your eyes for 10 seconds every 5 minutes? I can imagine it, right? Either way, whoever you're talking to is going to be super uncomfortable. All right, last one here. Would you rather live trapped in constant fear and worry, or live free, full of hope and peace? Well, the answer to that last one seems obvious to us, but so often we still find ourselves trapped or overtaken by fear and uncertainty that just seems to be all around us and is not going away. I mean, it would be amazing not to struggle with fear anymore. But the reality is that fear is something that we as people have struggled with since the beginning and will continue to struggle with until Christ returns. And in our lives and as we encounter and experience things, every time that we get distracted from the truth of God's word, or every time we rely on our own strength and our own ways, we again will fall back into fear. Every time we focus on our circumstances rather than focusing on Jesus, we again fall back into our fears, filled with anxiety and filled with doubt. And yet, once again, God says to us here in Isaiah 41, he says, "Do not fear, do not be dismayed." Fear not. I mean, part of me is like God, do you see all that is going on in the world around us? Are you reading and hearing and seeing the same things that we are? I mean, between the uncertainty of everything, COVID-19, and the violence against the innocent, the racial injustice and systemic racism of our country, and not to mention everyday issues of life, I mean, who wouldn't have some anxiety? Who wouldn't feel the waves of fear crashing in on them? I mean, it feels like there are just so many reasons to be afraid. But again, as we have seen over and over again throughout this series, God says, "Fear not." What? God, are you sure? I mean, why shouldn't we be afraid? Why shouldn't we be dismayed or anxiously looking around? God's answer to those questions, God's answer to fear today, is the same as it was in Isaiah's day. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Here in this passage, in this time, God is speaking to his people who are living in fear. They are in a situation that is completely unknown to them. A foreign land under control of other people. And so much uncertainty is circulating around them. As all the things that they were confident in and felt secure in has been taken away. The promises of Abraham that God would bless a people, that God would choose a people, that God would give them the land, just kind of seem void. They feel that God has forgotten and abandoned them. And while we might not be living in captivity, we can often relate to being in situations that feel unknown and uncertain. We know what it's like to have the things that we feel confident and secure in to be taken away. We know what it's like to struggle with fear and anxiety and uncertainty, wondering, God, where are you? And the thing is, God is still with us. God knows all of this, and God knows our ongoing struggle with fear. And yet again, he tells us, he reminds us, he instructs us. He says, do not fear, do not be dismayed. And God here, he's not just throwing us a bone or empty words, but he gives us these two commands that are rooted and built on five promises and reasons to not be afraid. God lays them out here in verse 10 that we just read. He says, I am with you. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. And I will uphold you. Five promises, five reasons that God builds these instructions on to not be afraid. And what we see here in this passage in the first nine verses before he gives this instruction is that he's calling us to focus on him. He's saying, look to me, see who I am. I am the God of all creation, the Lord of all. And see who you are as I have created you to be. See that you are the ones that I have chosen, that you are the ones that I have not rejected or abandoned. And so let's do that today. Let us be reminded of who God is and why we don't have to fear. So first thing is, God is ruler of all nations. God is ruler of all nations. In verse 1, God is calling all the nations to himself. He is the one that summons them, that calls them, that reminds us, he is Lord of all. And so in whatever circumstance that we face or are going through, whatever fear that we face, we can face knowing that God is in control and that God is Lord over all. And that's the God who is with us. That is the God who helps us and renews our strength. So God is ruler of all nations. Next is God is Lord of history. He is the Lord of history, the beginning and the end. We see in verses 2 through 4, God gives or he provides this view of history while looking into the future. He was speaking to what is and what was coming. Most commentators agree that the one that's referred to as the one from the east in verse 2 is none other than Cyrus, the Persian king, who God stirred up to come against Babylon 150 years later after Isaiah gave this prophecy. And so verse 4 asks, who has done this? Who has done this and carried it through in and through all generations? And to this, God answers, I, the Lord, with the first and the last, or the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega. God, you see, is Lord over history. He is the first. He is the one who created all things and put them into being. And he will be there with the last when all is accomplished according to his eternal redemptive purpose. So God is ruler of all nations. God is Lord of history. And God is the only one true God. In verses 5-7, we see a picture of human life and our attempts to persuade ourselves and one another that our gods or the things that we put our faith or trust or confidence in will save us, will deliver us, will protect us. We turn to one another and encourage each other and say, be strong. Hey, we got this. We're going to get through this. And yes, these are words that we need to hear and words that we can give and encourage others with. But what we see here in this verse is the problem is that these words and what they're based on, the confidence that they're based on idols and other things besides God. We see this human fabrication of false security and strength that in verse 8, it needs to be nailed down so it won't topple over. And again, God reminds us. He says, listen. He says, listen, whatever that is, whatever you're putting your faith, your trust in, that will not save you. That will not deliver you. That will not keep your fears from creeping in or overtaking you. That will not give you peace. But God says, I am the one true God. I don't need to be nailed down. I won't topple over. I am the real deal, and I am with you, and I am with you always. We see that over against this desperation of self-reliance and idolatry that God says to his people in verses 8 and 9. He says, but you, Israel, my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, you descendant of Abraham, my friend, I took you from the ends of the earth, from the farthest corners I called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you, and I have not rejected you. And so to those who thought that God had forgotten or abandoned them, they needed to be reminded that in spite of their circumstances, in spite of the uncertainty of all that was going on, in spite of not being in control or where they wanted to be at, they needed to be reminded that they are still God's children, that they are his chosen people, that they have not been rejected or abandoned. And this is what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. If we believe on Jesus, if we believe that Jesus died for our sins, that rose again from the dead, if we believe in Jesus, then we have been saved, and in Christ we have been chosen. We are God's chosen people. And so, because of this, do not fear. Do not be dismayed. The God over all the nations, the Lord of history, the beginning and the end, the one true God, that God is with you, is with us. We see that it was in Jesus Christ that this is Emmanuel, God with us. He stepped down into our world, became flesh. He walked with us. He experienced the things we experience. He knows the things that cause us to fear and raise anxiety in our life. And see, he knows all of this. And it is this God who is with us. And as we celebrate communion this morning, we are reminded of this promise. We are reminded of this confidence we have in Jesus. We are reminded of his sacrifice so that we may have life, life in him. And so believe God's promises. Trust God. Let God be your God, your strength and help. Lean into him and allow him to uphold you. So what I want to do is I just want to invite you into to reflect on these promises, to reflect on this truth, to just sit and talk with God, share with him your struggles with fear and anxiety, share with him those struggles and just allow his love, allow his grace, allow the truth of his promises to just wrap over you, to comfort you. And so join me as we go to our loving Heavenly Father in prayer. Be reminded of who he is and who you are in Christ Jesus. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to enter this time, this moment, to just take a pause from the things that are running through our heads, the fears, the anxieties, God. God, we want to bring them to you, to talk to you about them. And so, God, in these moments of stillness, in these moments of silence, God, hear our prayers, hear our struggles. Hear us now, God. God, we ask that you will remind us once again, remind us of the truth, remind us of your promises. Remind us, do not fear, for you are with us. Remind us to not be dismayed, for you are our God. You will strengthen us. You will help us. You will uphold us with your righteous right hand. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus. We pray all of this in his name. Amen.